Have you ever, I won't mention names, but sometimes a certain person will say to me something and then they'll say, did you hear what I said? And I'll go, yes. What did she say? And some years ago, I was in a meeting in my old church, and a guy who would have a prophetic ministry, in other words, he felt the Lord would say, and he prayed over me, and he said something. He said, Andrew, he said, you are a Judah, not an Israel. Do you understand? And I went, yeah, I do. What's he talking about? And I didn't understand what he meant. I didn't. And that was some 27 years ago. And a couple of weeks ago, I was reading a portion of scripture. And yesterday, it jumped out at me what he meant. So maybe God has spoken to you, and it might take some years before you fully understand what he meant. So I want to share with you one or two scriptures. And as I look through these scriptures, yeah, some of them can be challenging, but they're encouraging as well. Because as was already shared today, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And God loves us enough to give us the choice to choose, the choice to grow and to be stretched, and to hear exactly what he's saying, and to hear the goodness of his word, and to put it into context in our own lives. So I hope I can do justice to the few scriptures that I have. And one of the things we try to do here in Grace is we try to start on time and finish on time. So I'll encourage our visitors, we finish at 12:30, so it won't go on any longer than that. Well, maybe an hour or two, but other than that, it won't go on much longer than that. And I just want to share some portions of scripture and just look at this situation. And I was reading about the high places. And you know, sometimes, scripture that doesn't hide anything, it's there for us. And every time you minister God's word, there's plagiarism. Because someone else has already said it because God has said it first. And so I can say to you about the high places. And I used to read scripture, and there's certain things that would jump out at me about high places. And there was a time where Jehovah was worshipped on the high places. That the king of the I Am, the lord of the I Am, was worshipped on the high places. But then it got perverted, and the high places were places of worship, idol worship. And that's what's been spoken about through Kings and Chronicles. The high places are a place where other than God was worshipped. Other than God, there were sacrifices. There was incense. There was lots of things going on. And as I read these portions of scripture, it really challenged me and it struck me. Let me try and do it justice as I read through these. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given by his father David. That's good, isn't it? He walked in the ways of his father David. And we know that David messed up at times, but it says that here's a man after my own heart. Here's someone that would mourn when he was in error, and then get up and get on with life and serve the Lord's plans. But it says this, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. And this portion of scripture, along with the other ones that I have to share, really stood out to me in the sense that, so what you're saying, Lord, is we can follow you, even follow you wholeheartedly, and yet there's times where we get things wrong, but you still love us. That's right, son. You know, when we look at the difference between Israel and Judah, there was a split. And we're talking here about the kings of Judah. They walked faithfully with the Lord. However, there were certain things. We're not talking about Israel at this point. And there is a time where Israel comes together, becomes one. And as I'm looking through these scriptures and I'm trying to identify with it, there's something that speaks to me about our Christian walk, and I hope I can do it justice and articulate it to you. There's some people's names in here that I won't be able to pronounce, so I'll probably just go them, him or her. In the seventh year of Jehu, Joash became king and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother's name was her. She was from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to sacrifice and burn incense there. And when I read these scriptures, I almost see a contradiction. You see that he did right in the eyes of the Lord, however, the high places were not removed. And the challenge for me, and maybe it could be a challenge for you as well, if you put it into the right context. We can look at our lives and we can see that, you know, we have a heart and a passion for God. Yes, is that true? That's why we're here today, because we want to serve his plans and purposes here in Grace. There's many churches around the area. There's many churches around the globe. And God has called us to be part of a certain family for a certain time until he says, change. So we're here for such a time as this. And we can serve God wholeheartedly, but there's times, and I'm challenged with this, and I'm not saying it's you, but it's certainly me. There are some high places that I haven't removed. Lord, you can have your way in my life, but don't touch this. Lord, I'll do anything, but not that. Lord, I'll go anywhere, but I won't go there. And the Lord has been reminding me lately of certain things that have been spoken into my life. And have you ever wondered why? Not that talking to my life, but why? Why this, Lord? Why is this happening, Lord? What's going on over in that corner of the world? How come it's affecting me here, what they do and what they say? Why am I taking it so personally? What's happening in my life, Lord? And we get challenged as we read God's word, and we should. We should be blessed knowing that we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be blessed knowing that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We should be blessed knowing that though I walk through the valley, he doesn't leave us there. He says, keep going, because I'm with you. Though all that happens, there's certain things in our life where we kind of, I don't know if I trust you with that, Lord. You know, there's one of these kings that he did right in the eyes of the Lord, and he had a disease in his feet, and that eventually took him out. And it says there, something quite sad, it says he sought the physicians, but he never sought the Lord. And sometimes we can think, yeah, God's not concerned about my backache. He's not concerned about my migraine. He's not concerned about my limp. He's not concerned about that. And we'll go to the doctor, but we don't call upon God. Do you know what? God says, call upon me, and I will answer. And as God has been dealing with me over these last weeks, and I'm going, why, Lord? He's been reminding me of certain things. And if I share something that God's been reminding me of, not because I'm saying, look at me. I'm just saying, if God can say it to me, he probably said it to you. And there comes a point where we start to believe it. For such a time as this, we start to believe it. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to sacrifice and burn incense there. So they were being led astray because of what the leader failed to do. And when I look at these portions of scripture, what encourages me is the fact that God still uses us, even when we may have these high places. I don't know what your high place is. I don't know what it is God does. You do. Maybe you don't. Ask. This one here in 1 Kings 15, start at verse 9. In the 12th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king of Judah. Now, when we look at that, there was a civil war going on here, and this is where, you know, Israel and Judah split. You know, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked, yeah? You know, if someone comes to you, if you're a Christian, they're a Christian, they say, listen, sister, brother, you know, I've met this girl or I've met this boy, depending on if they're male or female, and I really think that's the one. They still worship Baal, but I think they're the one. Well, our counsel is, have you sought the Lord? Because fresh water and salt water can't flow from the same stream. Don't be unequally yoked. Well, that's what happened to Israel. They become unequally yoked, and it tore them apart. And when I start to look at life in church, let's bring it down to the here and now. Doesn't that sadden you that there's rifts in churches? That churches split? And when you look at Israel and you look at Judah and you do your research rather than just a sermon trying to string things together, you look at it and you read the whole story and you look and you see that we should be sad that people have walked away. We should be sad that there's splits in churches all around the world, denominations that no longer get on with each other, Christians that no longer get on with each other. And when we look at it, whether you're in Judah or you're in Israel. It's normally because of rebellion. When we look through Scripture, it's normally because of rebellion. That, Lord, I will give you this, but I'm not going to give you that. And even those that we're talking about, Judah, they followed the way of the Lord. They still had their high places. So none of us can stand there. None of us can look at our lives and go, yeah, but I'm, no, here I am, Lord, but a sinner. Help me, give me grace. So as we look through these portions of Scripture, we can see, as Asa did, what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David did, or his grandfather David did. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land. He got rid of all the idols his ancestors had made. So far, so good. He even deposed his grandmother, that's the one, from her position as Queen Mother, because she had made a repulsive image of worship of Asherah. And when we talk about the Asherah poles, if you imagine it, it's a timber pole and there's a carving of a goddess on it, and they would worship it. And you know, every time we worship something else, it's an idol, and it takes our focus away from Jehovah, Yeshua, the God I am. Anything that takes us away from that is idol, is an Asherah pole, is a high place. And so maybe today, if there are any high places in our lives, we can say, Lord, I want to get rid of all the idols, all the high places. He deposed even family. Even family. And that's painful, isn't it? There's people I know who, they don't speak to their parents, or their parents don't speak to them because they're Christians. Nothing else other than they believe in the I Am. There are children that won't have anything to do with their parents, their family, their siblings, because they're Christians. There's opposition because they're Christians, and it's sad, isn't it? It's sad, but the challenge is, are we in Israel or are we in Judah? You know, when we honour the Lord, he will honour us. And there's ways we can do things, ways we can say things. Because the Bible says, unless someone's there to minister to them, how will they hear? So we are to be salt and light in our communities. But when we look at these stories, they still resonate with us today. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we can still see that there's times where we need to tell the truth, even if it's to our family. She was removed as Queen Mother because she had made a repulsive image for the worship of Asherah. Asa cut down and burned in the Kidron Valley, although he did not remove the high places. Asa's heart, this struck me, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. You know, there's things that we can be full of zeal with, and we can see something, and it's so prevalent. We go, no, I shouldn't be doing that. No, I can't do that. No, I can't agree to that. When I was a young Christian, finances has always been a challenge. But we didn't have much at that time. And please don't feel sorry for me, because I have decent shoes now. But my work boots used to have polythene bags in them because there was holes in them. Now, get the picture. I'm a Christian, 2 weeks old, and this guy comes to me at work and he says, you wear hairwear, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, would you like to buy a pair? What size are you? I said, 8. He said, I've got a pair, £9. They were £30 at the time. £9. I said, yeah, I'll have them. He said, don't tell anyone, they're stolen. I can't have them. Why did you tell me? If I was ignorant, I just thought they're an old pair you bought cheap and gave them to me, but you told me. You see, we all have choices, don't we? We all have choices, and once we know, once we see the idol, we can remove the idol, but so often we don't see it because it's become our friend. Oh, that don't sound too harsh, but to become our friend, we've relied on it. So I had to refuse that. Another time I was in a meeting, and I've said this before, but I'm reminded of, you know, the Lord speaks to you, and have you ever felt sorry for yourself, or is it just your pastor? Why me, Lord? Yeah, look, I'm far more righteous than they are. Why me? No, I don't say that. I'm in this meeting, and I'm I'm desperate to hear God because he's moving in a certain part of the world, and these speakers are coming, and I start to believe in men instead of God. I start to believe that this man, this woman has the power and authority to speak into my life rather than, Lord, you speak to me. And I said this, I said, Lord, why are you passing me by? What have I done? And then someone else comes up to me and he says, I don't know if it's going to make sense to you, but the Lord says he's not passing you by. But there's a foundation that needs to be dug, and if you want it to be a big building, it needs to be a deep foundation. See, God speaks to us, and we don't always hear it, do we? We don't always hear it, but I'm starting to hear things that God said to me many, many years ago, and this whole Israel and Judah, I never understood until now. Because when there's a split, it's normally because of rebellion. It's not because, you know, you're right and they're wrong, but someone is. Someone is. If someone's going to compromise. When someone says, you know, I think we can do this for God, but I'm not going to give him that. And we can do this for God and we can allow that to happen. There's a compromise. And churches split because of compromise. And we should be sad about that. We should be sad about it. We should be praying for unity. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing, yes? So we should be praying for families to be united, friends to be united. There was, I won't go into names, but some years ago, a really godly man, I felt let me down badly. And I rang him the other day, and I just said, whatever his name is, and I said, I'm ringing to ask you to forgive me for not staying in touch. And after he coughed and spluttered a bit, he said, Andrew, I let you down. I should have been there for you and I wasn't. So let's forgive each other. See, how simple was that? But God had to show me the high place. I was holding on to a little bit of that resentment, wasn't I? I was holding on to it. And there's times where, you know, we can look at a situation and say, yeah, but they are in the wrong. They may be, but God's given you grace. Yeah, but they're a Christian, but God's given you eyes to see. Yeah, but why should I? Well, because God forgave you. So these may be strange passages of scripture that I'm reading and articulating what I'm articulating, but it all comes together when we look through scripture. There are high places that we need to remove. But it says here, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord. So we can still be fully committed to God. But there's places and circumstances and situations that God wants to address. But here's the key. God will address them. He'll highlight them to you, not me, not some minister, but he will highlight them to you. In 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1, Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king, strengthened himself against Israel. This is where we see that he understands there's a split, there's a rift. He understands that he needed to protect himself. You see, guys, if there's a rift, if there's a situation, then we need to protect ourselves. We need to protect our minds, our hearts, our finances. We need to be fully aware that we have an opportunity to see two halves come together as one, but we need to protect our hearts because we're vulnerable. And when you look at Jehoshaphat, he is the king that mourned. He mourned, he grieved over the splitting of the ways. And that's what encouraged me about my walk. That, Lord, we need to grieve at times over things we could have said and we didn't. Things we did say and we shouldn't have. But Father God, you can make the two and bring it back together as one. So I want to encourage you that if there is a rift of any sort in your life, just pray about it. If there's a high place that's not allowing you to operate in the fullness of what God has for you, even though your heart is committed, then bring it to him. He stationed troops in all the fortified city of Judah. He put garrisons in Judah and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David, his grandfather, before him. He did not consult the Baals, but he sought the God of his father and followed his commandments rather than the practices of Israel. He followed God's ways. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles in Judah. You see, when we read the account of all these other kings, they all served God, didn't they? And it says, for some of them, wholeheartedly. And yet we read here, that's an opportunity for Jehoshaphat, not just to walk in the ways of David. Not just to say, as you served the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. As you've taught me, I'm going to teach others. He got to the position, I believe, that God had given him, and he decided to remove all the ideology, all of it. Now you'll see that as you read this portion of scripture, he was so wanting two to become one that he compromised. He started the good race, but he didn't finish it as well as he started. And for you and me, God is always there with us to encourage us and provoke us and to stir us on to be the best that we can be. So maybe if there is a challenge in today's word, it's this. Are there any high places that God is highlighting that we can say, Lord, here I am, use me. Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened by their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So we need to have soft hearts. And that's the difference between God's people and those that are not God's people. We've allowed God to soften our hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. And then it goes on to say in verse 20, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. You know, some people may say, why should we read the Bible? Because we learn about God. Why should we come to church? Because we learn about God. Why should we worship? Because we learn about God. And as we learn about God, it takes our hard heart and softens us. You know, don't put your hands up. Have you come into church, right? Full of faith, but there's something that has really, really upset you. There's a part of your heart that's been hardened, but yet you still come into the presence of God. And as you worship, he starts to soften your heart. And where you was just about to give someone, you go, Lord, thank you. That's why we learn about the Lord, the I Am, the King of Kings. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in him in accordance with the truth. Scripture says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. But the truth about what? Because there's lots of people in lots of areas that will say, well, I know the truth. But Scripture tells us that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is only found in Christ. The truth of our salvation is only found in Christ. The truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. So there's something that we're encouraged to do. So I could say, Lord, here I am, you change me. But there's times that God gives me the opportunity to choose to change. Scripture says, there I lay before you life and death. Choose life. So it gives us an opportunity to choose. God lays it before us and we have to choose it. We have to do the work at times. It says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, your heart. Put on the new self. It's something that we need to do. When it comes to worship, it says, clothe yourself. And put on a garment of praise. And it's the same here as we look through scripture and we look at the high places and we look at the way we serve. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We look at the way we serve the I Am. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness, holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of God's body. Who said that scripture is not challenging? It is, isn't it? It's challenging. But I think it's encouraging. Numbers 14, verse 1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices. There's just one small couple of words that I want to bring. But rather than just say it, I'm going to have to read this so that we have context. Do you know what? We can take scripture and we can manipulate it. If I want to speak about a subject, I can take little bits of scripture and I can weave it together and you think, oh, that sounds good. And then you can be condemned and you're all repentant and I feel good. But I've manipulated God's word. We need to put it in context. We need to challenge one another when we hear something that's not scripture in the right way. So I'll highlight the bit that I want us to hear, but listen to the rest of it first. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. The Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You know, God said, here's a land I'm giving you. Many people forget that. God has given you promises. He's given you and I promises. When we say, Lord, I feel so lonely, we forget that he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's given us promises. This community had already forgotten what God had said. They never heard what God had said. They just saw the obstacles. They raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt, as we heard earlier, we just want to go back. Or in this wilderness. How dramatic they're being. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives, our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly. Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of, who's this? Him. Who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, and said to the entire assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. You know, there are times where we will feel deflated. And that's when those that God has spoken to, those that God has encouraged that day, can come alongside those that are feeling demoralized and say, we can take this land. God is your provider. God is your healer. God is your I Am. Yes? God is your companion. I feel lonely. God is your companion. Finances don't seem to be stretched enough. God is your provider. While we're in it, God is your boat. God is your refuge. God is your anchor in the storms of life. You get the picture. That we can say to others, you can do this because God has said it. And they'd forgotten what God has said, and all they did was grumble and complain at the leaders that God had given them. And they wanted to turn back. But instead of the leaders saying, Lord, take them out. Lord, take them out. Get rid of them. I don't need people like that. They got on their faces and they interceded. That's what Jesus does for me and you. When the enemy comes along and says, I'm going to take them out, Jesus says, no, you're not. They belong to me. And he intercedes. There's so much in these scriptures if we choose to listen, to look. And they said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Remember, he'd already promised it. And we will, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of these people of the land. That's what Israel did differently to Judah. They rebelled. They rebelled. And they had to live with the consequences for many years. Because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Some time ago I ministered on David and Goliath. And David saw something. He saw that, who is this man? As big as he is, he can't come against my God. He wasn't fighting him in his own strength, his own capability, but he understood the God that he served, the I Am, the Jehovah Jireh. He understood that God would provide. And that's the difference between Israel and Judah at this time when we're looking at this story. We need to understand that God is more than able in our lives, but there may be some high places that we need to take time. Their protection is gone. Yours hasn't. God is your shield. He has given you armour. Do not be afraid of them. It says the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. So you just heard this awesome message. You can do this, guys. And what do they want to do? Stone them. So often, when someone says something, we say, yeah, I heard that, just like me. Yeah, I understand that. Didn't understand a thing. They didn't understand a thing, did they? They hadn't heard what Moses had said. But Moses and Aaron said, listen, the land is ours. God is our protection. We can do this. And instead of saying, you're right, God promised it to us, they want to stone them. They want to stone them. It says, the whole assembly talked about stoning them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Moses said to the Lord. He stood in the gap. He pleaded with God. He said, these are your people. These are your people. Lord, bless them. Encourage them. And that's what we should do when things go wrong in our lives. When we see other Christians erring against us. When we see other family members erring against us. As easy as it may be, and as the opportunity may give us to stone them, metaphorically, we can intercede. We can say, Lord, you created them. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, they're made in your image. Bless them. You know when the scripture talks about praying for your enemies, that burning coals on their head? Do you know what I thought when I first read that? Good. Burn them up, Lord. But that's not what it means. It means bless them. Oh, so it puts a whole new slant on it, doesn't it? Lord, burn them up. Take them out. Moses didn't say that. He said, Lord, bless them. Encourage them. See, there's far more in scripture that if we choose to look, and they will tell the inhabitants of the land about it. You know, this is what God has done, but it goes on for time. I'm going to skip down to here. Now, may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion. God forgives sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes, fortunately this is not true for us, children generation after generation. In 19, so in accordance with his great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them. That's how quick God forgives us when we ask. As you ask, nevertheless, surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of these who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on earth. I want us to see the glory of the Lord in our life. Heaven come down. I want to see the signs, the wonders and the miracles that God promises us. I want to see our provision increased. I want to see our health increased. I want to see the Lord's name lifted up. It says this, but because my servant, this is, I read all of that for this. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. See, God has an inheritance for me, you, and our family. Do you have children that are not yet in the kingdom? Let's believe God's going to bring them in. Do you have family members that are not in the kingdom? Let's believe. As long as we have breath in our lungs, we can pray them in. Lord, bless them. Why? Because we have a different spirit. The Holy Spirit. We have a spirit that will soften our hearts, not harden our hearts. So, for want of a better word, we're a Judah, not an Israel. We don't want to be in rebellion. We want to serve God wholeheartedly, even though there's times we struggle, even there's times where there may be some high places that need to be removed. We still love him and he still loves us enough to give us choices. So we have a different spirit. We are getting to the end of this, be encouraged. In Ephesians 6 verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. You see, it's good to serve others. But as we serve others, we should serve them with the same attitude that we serve God. You know, Susan and I have been challenged over the years to give of our best. And we went round a minister's family's home and they would say this, because they were Anglican ministers, they would get homeless come to the door. And they would say, you know, when someone comes to the door, we would go and get our best china. And we would bring the tea and the coffee on the best china. And in our home group leaders would say, the reason that I'm bringing everything out the way I'm bringing out is because I want to bring my best. And that's what God wants us to do when we pray for others. When we serve others, he wants us to serve with the best. All that we have. You may have more than me, I may have more than you. I just use what God has given me. You use what God has given you. Because you know that the Lord will renew each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Here's a story for you. Growing up, we had two rooms, one best room and one sitting room. No one ever went in the best room, apart from Christmas Day. You'd go into the best room, the furniture was untouched, there would be a glass cabinet in the corner with all the expensive ornaments in china no one ever used. And I remember, and it affects you, I remember years ago we bought some Disney glasses. And I'm saying to Susan, you're not going to let the children use them, are you? Because the plastic ones are for kids. And Susan, my heart would melt. This three-year-old's got this expensive Disney glass. And I'm going, give them the plastic ones. But Susan said, no, there are children. They're serving with the best. Now, I'd be sensible in that. Don't go home and then come next week and say, Andrew, you know what you said? All of my china is gone. No, be sensible. You know the point I'm making is my mother had all this good stuff that she'd accumulated over the years, yet no one got to see it. It was hidden away. God says, use the treasure that's stored up inside you and serve others wholeheartedly, whether they're slave or free, whether they're in the kingdom or they're not. Serve the way that you would want God to serve you. My final but one scripture is in Numbers 33 verse 52. Drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images and their cast idols. And demolish all their high places. How do we do that in other people's lives? Don't go into their home and throw out their idols. But I've gone in family's home, they've got Buddha sit there. And my heart shudders. Oh, really? They've got all kinds of idols. There was a lady that is now in the kingdom. And before she became in the kingdom, she had every single that you could think of deity in their living room. There was the god of this, the god of that. Why? Because of superstition. Because just in case, I can worship that one, that one, that one, that one. It wasn't an open thing where she lit candles and worshipped. But she admitted to us that she kind of knew there was something spiritual. She wasn't quite sure which one, so she made sure she had them all. So we do it by praying. We do it by praying. Lord, bless this home. And slowly but slowly, you will see things happen. So that's how we help others to remove and demolish the high places, by praying for them, not by telling them necessarily they're in error unless they're Christians. Final scripture. "Sir," the woman said, I'm going to paraphrase this because I've gone over time. "Sir, this woman is at the well." You know the story. If not, read the story here in John 4. She comes to the well when no one else is around, and she comes to draw water, and Jesus says, "Give me something to drink." And she said, "Sir, if you knew who I was and where I came from, you would not ask me." For she was a Samaritan. A Samaritan is the lowest of the low. They're the enemy. Jews would go around, miles around, just to not go through their land. They were not allowed to drink out of the same cup. They were not allowed to be at the same well. So here's this woman. And Jesus talks to her about worship. And she says, "Yeah, but the Jews say that we must worship in Jerusalem." And Jesus says something to her along these lines. He says, "The day is coming where the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth." And that's us. We don't have to go to a specific place. You don't have to come to a church. You don't have to go to a monastery. You don't have to go to a special shrine. Because we are called to be worshippers in spirit and in truth. It's a revelation. The Spirit of God from the inside. And the truth is the truth about Jesus. So can I encourage you by closing? That's not my encouragement. Can I encourage you as I close by challenging us to say, "Lord, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. There may be some high places in my life. There may be something I'm not aware that I haven't let go of. Highlight it to me. Lord, there may be some idols in the life of my loved ones. Help me to pray for them. Lord, there may be a separation. A separation, there may be people I fellowship with that I don't fellowship with anymore. There may be family that won't associate with me because of my faith. Lord, help me to pray blessings upon their lives, that their hard hearts may become soft." And as we pray that prayer, we can say, "Lord, soften my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew," as David said, "a right spirit." So let's be encouraged today that we are, in want of a better word, we are Judah in this illustration, not Israel. We want to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. That's our desire. But we acknowledge there may be high places. Father, come, we pray. Bless us, we pray. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that we may be fruitful, believing, Father God, that nothing is impossible for you, and that you have called us for such a time as this. So, Lord, bless us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.